Hello, and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
A couple more health things to bring up to our church family. Mike Davis has had an operation on his feet. He's got to keep his feet elevated for 2 weeks, putting no pressure on his feet. And he said the main prayer request is for Nancy, that she didn't lose her mind taking care of Mike while he's just kind of sitting around. And also Ronnie having chemo starting tomorrow. Just got word of that. And I want to pray for those situations. So let's lift them up right now. Jesus, we just come before you, and we do lift up Ronnie, Lord. We pray for a miracle. Pray that you would touch his body, Jesus, and do a supernatural work there. God, we pray that you would invade every cell of his body, and Holy Spirit, do something that would just mystify medicine and just flip the diagnosis here. And that a clean bill of health would be his, God, and longevity and quality of life is ahead. Lord, we do lift up Mike and Nancy and pray for Mike's quick return and that he would rehab quickly, and pray for strength for Nancy as the caregiver. We love them, Lord, and just pray a blessing on them in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Kathy said it. We've had a full one already. And I'll try not to tank the service, right? It's been so good up to this point. But we're going to continue our Thanksgiving series. And if you would, flip with me to Luke chapter 17. If you're using our Bibles, it's page 741. Luke chapter 17. We'll also have it on the screen for you as well. Jesus is telling, or actually Luke, the author of this book, is telling the story of what happened with Jesus as he is moving through the land, heading back. Seemingly, we believe he's heading to, the story says he's heading to Jerusalem, and he's heading down the border of Galilee and Samaria. So Galilee is where the Jews are going to be, Samaria where the Gentiles are going to be. So there's already some racial and potential religious disconnects or even judgments toward one another as Jesus is walking down this border. I just got to stop right here. I love that Jesus toes the line of the border of what we think should be right and wrong and religious and not, and he just kind of blows it all up, right? And so here's Jesus in Luke chapter 17, and we'll start in verse 11. It says, now on his way to Jerusalem, also let me just kind of put this into your mind, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus is heading toward, we believe this is the same on his way to Jerusalem as he's heading toward Passion Week, okay? So this is kind of maybe the last few moments of Jesus' life as he is heading into Jerusalem. He's still kind of on mission, and some of the miracles that are taking place while he's heading to the Passover feast and eventually the cross. Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When he saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I want to break down this story line upon line because I believe there's a lot more in here than perhaps just reading a few of the verses. But as we dive in, put it in your own head. Where have I had breakthrough in my life? Maybe there was times I went back and said thank you. What are those times whenever it's more like a, whew, thank God, get out of jail free card and move on down the road? It wasn't so much worship as it was like, thank God I didn't get caught. Or maybe we didn't even thank God. We're just like, whew, got a lucky one there. And we just continue to move on down the road. I want to jump in here in verse 12. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance. Leprosy in this day was a skin disease that would even go to the bone of a person and was highly contagious, even just by being in the same area of someone, but definitely transferred through touch. So if I would touch someone and I had leprosy, they would become a leper, and their skin would immediately receive that disease or sickness. Also, it would affect the throat, okay? So it comes even way deep within. So even messes up the way that you talk and communicate, ache to the bone. Anybody hate cold weather and you just ache in your bones? You broke that bone, you got arthritis, something happened, you hate cold weather, and you can't wait because next week you're leaving for Florida for 3 months, right? But something is going on in their bodies, so much so that they're outcast. You can't live in this house. You can't live in this town. You have to live just, they push you clear out to the borders. Literally, they're borders of Samaria, clear to the borders of Galilee. They're kicked outside of the place. And so as they come to Jesus, they're calling out in a loud voice because they're standing at a distance. Let me tell you the desperation, because they probably couldn't speak with loud voices. There's a desperation, there's a coarseness, there is a raw need. I've got to have breakthrough, screaming through the pain. I need you, Jesus. Every hour I need you, like we just sang. And not just holy writ, it was a desperate ache and cry. My body is failing, it is breaking down, I can't even get the words out. But with a loud voice, I bring everything that I have, because this man is passing by and I need to seize the moment, because he may never come back again. He was heading to the cross. There was an urgency in this moment. I gotta get a hold of it now. As Paul said, we've got to lay a hold of all of that to which Christ Jesus has laid a hold of us. There was some urgency. The problem with blessing and prosperity is you can get so burdened and even blinded by how blessed you are that you don't even see the need or the ache for desperation. You don't need it. I don't need God to stand on the factory line and make these widgets. It's not like, God, I really need you. I don't need God to help me make this pizza. I know the ingredients. I don't need God to whatever, right? Sell these widgets. Every day, we don't really need God in our everyday lives. Think about how much, you're pretty smart. Think about how much do you really need God to help you turn on the combine? Pull it out there into the field, press GPS, and do you really need? And so these guys are at, and sometimes we're so blessed, we've got, you know, relationships are good, or maybe finances are good, or whatever, and there's just not the cry of desperation. And when the church family comes together, it's, I need you. Oh, Lord, I need you. Golly, let's go. I was trying to look at the Lord, but occasionally I look at you. Fascinating. God, what's the ache inside of our heart to where we need? And these lepers are crying out with a desperation. They stood at a distance. They knew who they were and they knew who they weren't. They knew they were outcasts. They knew they didn't belong. That's a tough reality. Knowing you just don't fit. And everybody else does, and they've got their cute little homes and their villages, and they've got their, man, I really wish I could go to sorority. Man, I really wish that I could show up to this committee meeting. Wasn't invited again this year. I'm the leper, and I stand at a distance. I'm not allowed to be in a relationship. And they cried out in a loud voice, Jesus, our master, honor as they walk into the presence. Master, sovereign owner, Lord, would you have pity on us, or would you shine your face upon us? Would you turn and have grace toward us? When Jesus saw them, he said, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. One more layer of this, as lepers would walk around the town, people would know they were lepers, and they would call out, lepers! Lepers! Or they would call, unclean! Unclean! Usually Alyssa and I do that when we're talking about Nora. Unclean! She needs bathed. How would you like every time you walk into the room, unclean, gross, disgusting? Here they come. Oh, shoot, stay away from that person. And the priest took it to a whole nother level, and they would say they were also unclean in their spirits because they must have had done something sin-wise to where this disease would come upon their bodies. So the priest would shun them from the churches. No, they're not allowed to come around. You can't even stay in the outer courts. You're not allowed to come to this church. And so Jesus says, go to the priests. Jesus, you big silly. He's such a silly goose sometimes. And he tells them, go to the very person who's hurt you, who's wounded you, who's cast you out of here. The priests were some of the authorities in the land. They've cast you out of here. Go to them. Anybody ever, you've been in hard times and Jesus asks you to do something harder? You're like, can I just get a break? Like, can you just touch me? I'm healed. It's all good. Or just say it. Just say the words. And no, I want you to walk back into that town. So all those people that have turned their backs on you, that have abandoned you, walk right down into the middle of it. Show up at the temple. Walk right into the synagogue and find the priest and present yourself. Whew. They're called to do something pretty heavy. But they obeyed. As they went, they were cleansed. They started moving. There was obedience in their spirit. They said, yes, God, we will go. There was a response. I wonder how many times Jesus has asked us to do some hard things and we said, thanks, but no thanks. I got a better idea. I think I'll do it this way. I think I'll go about it this way. And we stay stuck. And just that spirit of stuck. Marriage is just stuck. And he told you to forgive, and you just won't. And relationships with kids are just stuck. And he told you just to go the extra mile. If somebody asks you for your coat, give them your tunic as well. And you're like, I'm not going to. I'm just tired of it. And he's asked you to do some hard things, and you've said no. These guys said yes. And as they went, breakthroughs started happening. Their hearts began to shift. Their relationships, whatever, right? I'm trying to do some symbolism, but things started breaking through in their life. I don't know if the miracle was instantaneous or if it was gradual. Let's just play both scenarios. It's instantaneous, and all of a sudden, wow, this thing just hit me with fresh life. Just a new life. Imagine that it's gradual. And as they're walking from the borders all the way into the city, my bones are starting to feel a little bit better. My blood's circulating. My skin, all of these scabs and diseases, there's like new skin coming all over me. My voice isn't as coarse. I can actually talk and communicate. On their way, health starts hitting their bodies. As they went, things start transforming within them. You ever felt yourself move toward health, maybe even just physical health or spiritual health? Like, man, I think I'm growing right now. I think I'm getting healed. I think I don't have as much bitterness or harbor as much pain or regret. I'm moving somewhere, and as I'm moving, there's health that's hitting my body. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, thanked him, and he was the Samaritan. I love it. The guy who's nothing like Jesus worshiped Jesus. And the guys who should have been like Jesus didn't come back to worship Jesus. The guys who should have got it, they were probably, as Galileans, they were raised in a Hebrewic school. They should have known more about God and this breakthrough that just happened, and they say, we're not going to worship. Now, I don't know that I can fully blame the other nine lepers. Let's play this scenario out. I'm a leper. I've been kicked out of town. I haven't seen my wife. I haven't seen my kids in a long time. I haven't been home. I'm healed. I want to go see my babies. And who can fault them? Man, I got this awesome life. We got life restored. I want to go and do this thing. I don't have time to go worship. Life is just too good right now. Life is so good, I can't worship. And when life gets too good and you're blinded by blessing, you forget who the giver was. And these nine, they were so caught up in the gift, they forgot the giver. I love it. Woo! I'm going to the beach. I'm getting a suntan. I got a new body. I'm going to do some races. We're going to hop on the bike. I feel great. We're all getting family gym memberships. We're going to start working out. Look at this body that I've got. And they're off and running, man. They've moved on. I wonder also, just the benefit of the doubt, did they think, well, I've got to obey Jesus. Jesus told me I got to see the priest. Let's take that into consideration. I'm going to obey. I'm going to go see the priest. There was a time, this just happened recently, where Alyssa and I, we take the kids out. We have a blast. We do this kind of this whole day, family day, you know, whatever. We're exhausted. We come home. We crash. Kids, head on up. Let's brush teeth. Let's get, you know, ready for bed, all this sort of stuff. Get the kids down for bed and just exhausted. And you're at one of those times just like, just please obey. Let's just go to bed. And Nora comes creeping down the stairs. She's going to be 5 next week. All 28 pounds of her at 5 comes creaking down the stairs. I'm like, Nora Sage, that's about all you got to do for her. And she just shakes. She comes on down, crawls right up in my lap. Dad, thank you for today. Oh my gosh, just wipes you out. You're like, let me hold you for 20 years. You're fine right here. Stay 28 pounds forever. You'll be fine. There wasn't, in the father heart, there wasn't, you're disobeying because you wanted to come and say thank you. There wasn't anything that would have said, no, you didn't fully do what I asked you because you wanted to come back and worship. No. In a grateful heart, the highest duty is to show gratitude. I can't be anything other than what I am. If I'm captured by gratitude, I have to express it. Problem is we're not just captured by gratitude. We're not captured by it. We're not enslaved to being grateful and thankful. We kind of just wish it happened faster, actually. Why did the internet take so long? It took like 3 seconds to download that picture. Come on, let's go. We need it. We need it fast. And we're frustrated if it doesn't happen for us now. For whatever reason, maybe a litany of reasons, but it wasn't impressed on their heart that I should go worship. I was just looking at my prayer list this last week. And what's kind of cool is on this prayer list is there's also thanksgivings. And many times we're always just taking our concerns to the Lord. And I'm also building up thanksgivings to the Lord. This week, I thanked Jesus that he healed Sheila Mahoney 3 years ago of a brain tumor. I'm not over that one yet. I'm not over it. It's not like that doesn't move my spirit anymore. Hey, that was cool. Okay, next, we're on to the next emergency. Okay, what's next? No. We need to come back. We need to come back and worship that forever. As long as we spent time interceding for that, we ought to be thankful. Looked at my prayer journal. I was thankful that the Lord healed Vicky of cancer. Because we prayed for it for how long? We should sit and worship for that long. God, you're good. Oh, you're good. You're faithful, Jesus. And instead of living by emergency, living by thankful hearts. God, you're so good. And it is a perspective shift. It is a perspective shift. Last week, or 2 weeks ago, when we had our pastor's appreciation luncheon, my youth pastor finally retired. After years and years and years, Connie Cates, and they had a pastor appreciation retirement party for her that I wasn't able to go to because we were partying here, right? Too much partying going on. And I followed up with her, and I said, I'm so sorry I wasn't able to be there, but I want to set up a time where I can personally just say thank you. I've got a letter written out to her, and I want to sit before her, and I'm going to be a mess because she was instrumental in the formation of my teenage years, Connie Cates. We need to go back, right? Inside your bulletin, there is a piece of paper that says Thanksgiving on it. I want you to be intentional to write a Thanksgiving note to someone. Maybe it's a parent, maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a child, something, but can we pour out gratitude somewhere and say thank you? Thank you for whatever. Maybe it's to a parent that's already passed, and you write that note and just pour your heart out. Maybe even mail it to yourself. But can we move towards these places of gratitude? And a couple more verses here. I also love that it was the Samaritan. I love it. I love who we think are the sinners or the outcasts or whoever. Jesus was. Jesus. Verse 17, Jesus asked, and this is powerful. There's a triple question he asks. Check out this triple question, because Jesus is so blown away that he's like, are you serious? Like, but wait a minute though, are you really serious? He asks this three times. Look at this. Were there not 10 who were cleansed? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, there were 10, right? Where are the other 9? I can almost feel a little frustration. Didn't I ask you to do this? What did I tell you? Where's the other ones? He says, was no one found to return and to give thanks except for this foreigner? Some translations say except for this stranger. This guy that I don't even have a relationship with, at least he showed gratitude. Jesus asked three questions back to back to back. And he says, your faith has made you well. You taking movement and taking action has made you well. I want to read this kind of a parable story. But if you're looking at your life and you're saying, yeah, that's nice, but you don't know all of the pain and the suffering that I'm walking through, I just want to contend that no matter what happens on this side of the cross was enough. And if we can get our eyes transfixed on the cross and say, if nothing else ever happens good in my life, And I am the leper that's kicked out of town, and I have sickness and disease, and I have zero relationship, the cross is way more than enough of what I have ever deserved. Let me read this. Mother and father had a son, and their son left home. He left home because he was tired of living according to someone else's rules, and he wanted to be free to choose his own life. His parents were filled with the pain of a broken heart. Not surprisingly, their son ran out of money, ran out of friends. Usually when the money's gone, the friends are gone. He ran out of friends, and so then he ran out of options. He hit bottom and could not find the way back up. He wrote a letter to his parents back home. Dear Mom and Dad, I have been the cause of much pain. I have sinned against you and against God, and I'm not worthy to be called your son. There is no reason for you to love me or to welcome me back, but I'm at the bottom of the barrel, and I'm hoping to come back home, if you will have me. I've been given a ticket for a train to get me back home. It's the line that comes around the bend and right past our family farm. If you want me back, please put a white sheet on the tree out in the backyard near the tracks. That will let me know if you want me to come back home. If there is no sheet, I understand. I will know to stay on the train and to never come back home. A few days after sending this letter, the young man got on the train. Unable to get a window seat, he sat next to an old man. As he came closer to home, he became more nervous. As the train drew near to his backyard, he couldn't take it. To the man sitting next to him, he asked, "Sir, around this next bend, there will be a farmhouse to the left, a white house with an old red barn behind it. You'll see a broken down fence. There will be a clothesline in the backyard. Would you do me a favor? Would you please look to see if there's a white sheet hanging on the tree by the road? I know it sounds strange, but I can't bear to look." The young man's heart was racing as the train edged around the bend. The man sitting next to him said, "You might want to look for yourself." And there, at the bend in the tracks, wasn't just one sheet covering the tree, but every tree on the farm was covered in white sheets. And the barn roof was covered in white sheets. On the clothesline hung white sheets. On the broken down fence was covered white sheets. There were white sheets everywhere. You see, the Father has welcomed us home, and Jesus has paid the price for all of our sins. He takes away the sins that separates us. He's covered us in robes of white. It's time for us to come back to Jesus with hearts full of thanksgiving and to say that he's covered the farmhouse in white. He's covered your entire life in white. He sees you in white. He doesn't see all of the mistakes and sin. He sees you through the eyes of Jesus that has been bought with the blood of Christ, that is saved and separate and renewed and restored. It's his son that's come home. It's his daughter that's coming back to say, "Thank you. I have thanksgiving in my heart, and I can't just keep it to myself. I'm not moving on with life. I've got to get into the presence of the Lord and worship." Come on, church family. I want to encourage us that we just don't just take time off and take time to separate from the Lord. We live in the throne of Jesus. We come together to worship with hearts full of thanksgiving. We worship with desperation. We need you, Jesus. We've been covered in something much more real than our sin. We've been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ and the grace and redemption that sets us free. You do have a lot to be thankful for. We all have a lot to be thankful for. As we close this morning, please be intentional with this letter that you've got in your bulletin. Write it. Be intentional. Be a heart that lives with gratitude. I'm thankful. I can find something to be thankful for. Perhaps you're sitting in here and you just identified with the leper. I feel like I'm the outcast. I feel like I'm the black sheep of the family. I feel like I don't fit. I feel like I'm rejected time and time again. I want to tell you, Jesus does not reject you. Jesus walks up to you. Jesus sets us free. Jesus restores. Whoever you identify with in this story, it all ends in redemption. Would you stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? When we pray and dismiss, we want to just see all of our families here that just had the baby dedication. Andrew has a baby dedication certificate. We also have monthly meeting happening right after the service. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that you have covered the farm in white sheets. We thank you that you've covered our lives in white, that you wrap our hearts in robes of righteousness. For so many out there, you feel like that spiritual leper. You feel like you've got the disease and that people just stay away. Or maybe even God stays away.
Lord, I pray right now that your overwhelming love would just bind up the broken hearts. Jesus, I pray that people would have an encounter with your grace this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit. Awaken the heart. Draw them into you, Lord. Lord, I pray that people would come into a family where they're loved and encouraged and challenged for more to be like Jesus. And God, with hearts full of thanksgiving, we say thank you. Thank you, Lord, that you're consistently good. You're faithful. We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
So we're so glad you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.